Well, this evening I chose Colossians 3, 1 through 17 for a very personal reason. 50 years ago, roughly, I became a believer. I had been at a very denominational church where I'd heard about God and didn't know him. But when I learned who God was and that he wanted to reach out to me and save me, it made a difference in my life. I gave my life to Jesus to follow him. And I got voraciously into the Bible, and I wanted to study and learn because God was so important to me. And we need that kind of fervor back in our lives. We don't need to go back to be a baby Christian. What we need is a new fervor in what God has given us, where we're at in our faith. One of the first studies that I ever taught and I was ever in was a study that I started, and it wasn't in a particular church. It was just with a bunch and group of young people who had given their lives to God and wanted to learn more about him, because there weren't a lot of fellowships around our area. So there was about 8 or 9 of us, and we started in the book of Colossians. When we got to these chapters here, this chapter 3, this is the one that seemed to have impacted us all in a very strong way and had a big impact on us, not because it told us about some of the things we liked, which was the Christian music we had started hearing at the time, but it also encouraged us in how to walk and live for him. So that's kind of the background that leads us up to Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Yes, it was written by Paul, and yes, it was written to believers, but you'll see how it also is written to us directly as well. Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So we need to acknowledge that God is above us, that God is our Savior, and we need to recognize who he is. And set your mind on things above, not the things that are on earth. So not the things that we see, but the things that God tells us in our heart. The things that God tells us are important, which are to repent from our sins, which are to walk and follow after him, and to keep our eyes on him. For if you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And it will. Sometimes we don't believe that. But God will judge the evil that's going on in this world. And we can point the ones who are living in the sin to our Savior, and that, so they don't have to go through that wrath. And in those sins, we once walked, and we were living in them. But now also put away and put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. And do not lie to one another. Since you have laid aside your old self with its evil practices, and you have put on a new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And a renewal which is, there is no longer a distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. He's not white, he's not black. He's not the different divisions that we have from one another. He's not Mexican. He's not Canadian. He is all of us. There isn't a distinction anymore. We believe we are all Christ's children. We are all his. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, you should also forgive. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you sow in the word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And that's the passage that I have for tonight. There's so much in there, and there's so much. I mean, I could be like Tony and just go through two or three verses, but I picked a big chunk. So I'm going to try to separate that into a few different categories, and then we can go forward. The first is, where were we in God? Well, we were immoral, impure. We were living just our own passions with our own evil desires. We were greedy and idolatrous. Those are the things that we were before we gave our lives to Christ. Those are the things we need to repent from. Those are the things we still can have troubles with. But as you walk and grow in Christ, there's other things that we have to worry about. So maybe you don't have to worry about running off with another man or another woman. But maybe we need to worry about lying. Maybe we need to worry about what we say to one another. And he comes back and he tells us, on here, we need to put away anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech. Do we talk about somebody behind their back without love, without kindness? Guess what they did? Those types of things God does not want us to live in. But he tells us what he does want us to live in. And that's the thing that I want us to see and to ask God for tonight is, Lord, change my life. Forgive me for these awful things that we've done before. Help us to repent of those. But help us to live in the things that he's asked us to. Further on in the verse, it tells us that we have been chosen of God. So we get to that part where it says we are chosen of God. God chose us. God chose you. And God chose me. A lot of times we think, well, I found God. That has nothing to do with it. God's loved us and has been searching for us since he created us. God has chosen us. So we can feel how worthy we are, not because of what we've done, but because God calls us worthy. And it's not because we're always good, but it's because we can repent and he lives inside of us now. He wants us to put on a heart of compassion. He wants us to live in kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And that really starts in the house of God. We don't treat each other this way very often, with compassion and kindness and humility. Do we look to see how we can meet others' needs in our own congregation? Do we meet our own family's needs in that way? Or are we selfish? And just think, well, I want to go out to eat tonight, so I'm thinking about, I'm going to go out and get some Mexican food this evening. Or are you thinking about what it means to walk with God, what it means to get those things right? And he talks about that, about making things right with your brother and sister. But we want to have that compassion and kindness and humility with one another and gentleness and patience. Or do we get frustrated with somebody? Do we have a hard time when a person just kind of rubs us the wrong way, so we stay away from them? Is that what Jesus would do? He's telling us to act it with gentleness and patience. Is that coworker? Is that other believer in our congregation that you don't want to sit next to? You hope you don't bump into and have to talk to? I think we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be filled the way he's asking us to with these things and to be thankful. Bearing with one another. And that's a great thing to do, bearing with one another. We all have burdens. And we're here to help one another and to uplift one another. God has put us here for a purpose and a reason. He's in our hearts and he comforts us. But we're brothers and sisters. We're all in the same family together. When we're hurting, it's not a bad thing to ask for help, to ask for prayer. It's not a bad thing to come up to somebody after service and just say, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray for me? We're to help one another. It's not just Pastor Tony who does that. It can be each of us with each other. Forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against us, just as the Lord has forgiven us. Sometimes we like to hold on to grudges. Well, I brought this plate for potluck and I never got it back. So I think this person just likes to steal from me. You know, we can think these things. And you know, how that evil can just fester in our hearts. You know, but we need to truly learn to love and forgive one another. We need to truly put on love and see what we can do to help one another when there's trouble in our lives. To come alongside and to say, I don't know how to fix a situation, but I know who does. My God who is in heaven. Let's lay this burden before him, and I'm going to stand beside you the same way Christ is standing beside you. Be an arm to cry on. And if you have need, find a shoulder to cry on. That's what we're here for, is to help one another. It's not to leave one another alone to walk their Christian life and go their own way. We're a body together. And when a body is hurting, we need to come together and help one another. We need to rally around one another and encourage one another. And through this passage, you know, I'm also seeing where God is saying, you've come to church. I can see out here, a lot of you have come to church for years and been sitting in these chairs. What is God doing in you to bring those words of God alive in your heart this week? What have you had a chance to share with another believer or with an unbeliever? What have you had to share, or have you kept that all to yourself? We are here to help one another, to encourage one another. We are to be witnesses to the world and to one another. The world will know we are Christians by our love for one another and how we help one another. The world will know we love because we give up from ourself to another to see them be saved. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. How can the word of Christ dwell within you if you're not reading the Bible? If you're not being in fellowship? If you only come on Saturday evenings? Are you reading the Bible anytime during the week? Is God that important to you that you only come once a week? Or do you come to him daily? Or do we just come to him when we have a need? Oh, Lord, I need $20 more so I can, you know, buy what I want. That's not what it's saying. What God is saying is, let the word of Christ dwell within you. We need to read. We need to pray. And we need to be with one another. It says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren together. And what's important about it is that's why, when we can bind each other's wounds, encourage one another. You know, when we can come together and say, hey, brother, guess what? I had a chance to share with somebody this week. You know what encouragement that is? That's an encouragement for me to do the same thing when I hear that from somebody. Hey, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. What encouragement that is. That's as we grow in our relationship with him, as his word is in our heart and we get to share that with another person. With all wisdom, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of the parts I really liked, because I thought I was going to be in Christian radio for years. And I was going to be, you know, lifting up all kinds of different Christian music for people and being involved with bands and concerts and all kinds of things. But God led me in a different direction. But that doesn't mean I don't love the inspiration. that music gives. Music gives inspiration. The wonderful hymns and songs we sang tonight, if they didn't fill your heart, we need to pray. You know, get together with us and pray that the words of those songs talk about a love of God and how much he loves us and how much he has done to save us and to lead us closer to himself. I'm not plugging any Christian radio station or any musician. What I want to plug is worship. Worship God. And worship with one another. We get a chance to worship here on Saturday evenings, and I wish we could do it on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. I would love to be able to worship every evening. But we have that opportunity in America. America, we have a joyous country. We have radio stations we can turn on. We can hear the word of God. Some of it might just be mellow jello. It might not have as much meaning as it should. But others can tear your heart apart while you're driving and have you crying and in tears. It can have you lifting up your hands in worship. And I just would ask that as you spend some time in prayer and reading God's words each week, that you spend some time in worship and hearing his word in song and in music as well. Because that's a well-rounded believer when you can really be filled with the Spirit. You know, when it talks about singing with thankfulness in your hearts, I wish I could say I was a thankful person. I'm not as thankful as I should be. But I'll tell you tonight, I am so thankful to God. And I'm so thankful that he saved me. I'm willing to get down here on my knees and thank him again for saving me from my own sin. For saving me from a life that would just lead me into immorality, that would lead me into to impurity and filth. And I still struggle with different things because I'm not perfect. I need to repent almost every day. But what he's saying here is he can fill us. And we need to be thankful for the things he fills us with. But we get a chance to share those things as he has shared them to us. So giving thankfulness in our hearts to God, but we can give our thankfulness to our brothers and sisters as well who help us. How often we don't thank people. What a difference that can really make. When I was working at Walgreens Drug years ago, you know, you can get some really different people that go through your checkout line. You know, and lots of people can upset you. You know, because they'll argue with you. They can give you all different kinds of reasons. And you remember those bad times. But I was remembering how this one day I even though being the manager, every once in a while I'd still get on the cash register. And I was up there and this lady came up and she got her purchase. I told her how much it is and she just says, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome. You're thankful for what?" She goes, "I'm thankful that God put you here so you could help me today. I'm thankful that you had what I needed. And I just wanted to let you know that God has really blessed me today, and I hope he does for you too." What a difference that made in my whole day. I felt like I was walking on cloud nine. But it only took one other person to, you know, once again, give me a hard time to forget that. Because it's easier to remember those bad than the good. But I want to be that person next time who's able to give out that joy to somebody else. Because that's that other person at the checkout stand or in the checkout line stands behind you. "Hey, why don't you go before me?" You know, I can't remember the last time anybody asked me to go in front of them. But I want to be that person who shows that kind of kindness. And when they ask, "Why are you so kind?" "Because Jesus has saved me. Because he wants to save you. He doesn't want you to live in sin anymore." You know, we have all kinds of opportunities to share the love of God. We have all kinds of opportunities. I just want to encourage you to be filled with God by reading his word. I want you to be filled by hearing it, by coming together with one another. And let's help each other and encourage one another to do the same. Because we don't do that. And giving thanks is one of those things that we like to get and not give as much. You know, and that just reminds me of Christmas time. You know, as a kid, it's always about what you get. You know, as a parent, you learn that giving is a good thing, but, you know, we still like to get things. But when you see your child's eyes light up when you give them the gift that they've been wanting, you know, that's so joyous. What greater gift is there than salvation that takes somebody from the pit of hell who can walk with us in glory in heaven? That's the best gift that we can give. And that's the encouragement that he puts out at the end of the passage here. He says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever we do we have that faith to do whatever we do? I was thinking about the other day, I was looking at my bank account and looking at my check going out for the mortgage, and do I rely on myself or am I thanking God for that? Am I saying, well, I worked hard for that, I'm paying off my bills? No. It's not me who is doing anything. God is the one who is doing it. God is the one who has provided. God is the one who is giving it to us. How often we take credit for what God is. And we need to sit back and allow God to be God and recognize that we need to be thankful for the things he's given us. Yes, he gave us a job, but even if he gave us a job, it's not us. You know, he gave us the wisdom. It's God who gives. It's God who provides. He is the one. He's provided for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, for David. I think of David. He's a man who definitely was interesting. He loved God. He sang songs. He wrote songs. He calmed Saul's spirit, and he loved the Lord God. He was dancing before the ark as it came in. And it so disturbed his wife, she said, why are you doing such things? You're making a fool of yourself. He says, I can't contain myself. My love for God is greater than all. It's greater than, he says, it's greater than even my love for you, because I'm going to dance because God has told me to. I can't contain it. But he's also the one who also had Uriah killed. He was a murderer, an adulterer. And aren't we? God says if you've thought about those things in your heart, you've already committed them. So we have those same things to repent. And David's life just reminds me that I need to follow after God all my life. Because I see him at the end of his life, cold and alone. He didn't raise his children right. He didn't allow the God that he loved to be a part of the life of those that he loved. We need to do that. We need to open our hearts, recognize who he is, to be thankful for what he's given us, to share that with those around us. Whatever we do, in word or in deed, we need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And giving thanks to him, to God our Father. He is our Creator and our friend. But he has called us to change our lives, to have our lives changed. And he's talking to the Colossians saying, you've been saved. You're born again. You love God. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Don't live in anger and malice. Don't lie to one another. Don't cheat each other, whether it be a brother in Christ or whether it be an unbeliever that we need to lead to Christ. Be a witness to God in all that we do. Set your mind on the things above, it says, not on the things on this earth. Christ wants us to live with kindness, compassion, gentleness, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. But we just don't live that way a lot. We tend to be very selfish. God is saying, how you can move from just being saved to being a child of God who is like God. We're called Christians, which are little Christ, people who are following after Jesus. If we're following after Jesus, we should be doing what he did, not just what we want to do. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Beyond all these things, put on love. Love for God first. Love for one another in the body. And love for his children, who he wants to be saved. Because he was able to... Jesus even broke down in tears for Jerusalem when he knew he was going to die. I am here to save you and you don't even recognize me. His tears are there. Do we have those tears for the unsaved? Do we actually care if they get saved? Well, I care for my children. I pray for them every night. We're all God's children. He's created each of us. If we are standing on this earth, God has created us for a purpose and a reason. We are here tonight because he wants us to draw closer to him. He wants us to be his children. Let's come to him. Let's hold on to him. And how do we do those things? By prayer, reading his word, and worshiping. And worshiping is not just the music and the songs, like I was saying before. Worshiping is recognizing God for who he is and living that way. Bowing our knee, recognizing that he is holy and we are not. Recognizing that if it wasn't for his salvation, we would be smushed and we would be the ones going to hell. And we have the joy of going forward. And yeah, I'm not going to do the dangling above a pit tonight. But maybe another evening I'll do that. But there are some other passages I just wanted to share real quick before I end the evening. Because if this was the only time in the Bible this was mentioned, it would be great. But this is mentioned by Paul in Galatians and in Ephesians and in other places, even in the Old Testament, where it talks about we need to go beyond just recognizing God for who he is, but actually follow him. And can people see us as followers of God? If your life isn't different, maybe we should be questioning that. You know, how do we follow closer to God? Well, Ephesians 5, 1 to 21 is similar, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of summarize that a little bit. Because in a very similar passage as the one I'm reading tonight, God repeats himself. And I think if he's repeating himself in his word, we need to take heed to what he has said. Put away immorality, impurity, filthy language, silly talk, and coarse jesting. Put on the good things of Christ and our speech filled with life and exposing evil. And when it comes further down in the passage to 18 in Ephesians, he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Once again, it's coming to that giving thanks. Giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We get glorified Jesus, and Jesus is glorifying the Father. And I pray that I would be glorifying the Father too. And then it ends with, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We need to be each other's servant. That's what he's called us to be. Didn't he tell his disciples that? That we need to serve one another? Do we serve one another, or do we want to be served? Do we want to be like the Pharisees who have people washing our feet? Or do we want to be those who wash the feet of our brothers and sisters? If our brother and sister has a need, we need to meet those needs. If we have the ability to help a non-Christian and to share and meet their needs and do it in the name of Jesus to the glory of God the Father, that could lead someone to salvation, then we should do that. Because if we're filled with the love of Christ and it's overflowing, it's going to lead others into a better relationship. It's going to encourage our brothers and sisters to walk stronger in Jesus. And it's going to lead those who don't know him into a relationship that will save them from that eternal judgment that's coming, as we read earlier. Because it will come. God will judge. People, that's not very nice to say from the pulpit. God will judge, and evil is going to be judged. And those people who live an evil life and don't repent will be judged and will spend an eternity in hell. It is true. It's not popular to say, because that's not the loving thing to do. You know, we need to be all inclusive. Well, God says there's a select few that get to be in heaven. Those that accept him, they can all come. If you don't accept him, there isn't that joy and relief. After we got done doing this study with my friends, four or five of them decided they wanted to walk with God and follow him in a very strong way. And there were a couple who decided they didn't want to follow after God. They wanted to live the worldly life. And to this day, I still pray for them. I'm still friends with them on Facebook. I still see them. And I just see the pain in their life. Even though, you know, crazy Facebook only shows you what they want you to see, you know, usually the better things, but even then, you know that it's a life that's not bringing joy and happiness. So I pray for them. But after that study, it was just nice to be able to see that I wasn't the only one who got excited about following after God in a strong way, who wanted to be encouraged by God by reading his word, be encouraged by God by listening to good Christian music. And for me, it made a world of difference, because what you fill yourself up with is what comes out. So if you want to fill yourself up with law and order, you know, that probably won't be the best thing to be sharing with each other. You want to fill yourself up with the word of God and to share that with one another? That might be what we need to do. So tonight, as I wrap up, I would like to be able to tell you that my encouragement for you is to live a life full of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience with one another, forgiving each other. If you've wronged anybody, ask them to be ask your forgiveness. It's okay. It's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to be one of God's kids. It's okay to come to God and ask for forgiveness as well. Lord, I've fallen short. I'm still having trouble in some of these areas. I know a helper. God said that the Holy Spirit is his helper. And he's filled us with the Holy Spirit. So come to him in prayer. Pray. Read the word, and find a brother or sister to put an arm around this week. That's what I have to encourage us. So live with those things this week. Let's try to live the word of God, and let's worship one another. Worship one another. No, worship God only. Sorry about that. But worship one another. If we get a chance to worship again this evening with the worship team, let's open our eyes a little bit differently as we worship this evening. Let's put our eyes on God. It's not on how beautiful I sing, but it's all on who we're singing to. Let's sing to the God who these songs are for. Heavenly Father, I know my words aren't eloquent, but I know you are worthy of all. I am your child and I am your servant. And I pray that this evening that your word has gone out as you promised it would, and won't come away void, that you would make a difference in my life and in the lives of those who have been able to hear this evening. And I pray that your spirit would touch those who are hurting and those who are grieving. And if you're having a hard time, please reach out. And if you know a brother or sister who is hurting, reach out and let them know that you love them, that you're praying for them, and find out what you can do to help. Let's live a life that God has called us to. Let's give back our whole entire life to him. As we did when we first believed, we said, Lord, forgive me. I am yours. This evening, I pray we would do the same. Lord, I know you've saved me, but I'm yours. Use me in the ways you want me to. Lord, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. For without him, we would all be lost. We thank you for being faithful. And I pray you'd make us be more faithful. And it's by your Spirit and through your Spirit and through your Son that we pray this evening, Heavenly Father. Pray that you'd forgive us, teach us to be more like you, and help us to walk a Christian walk. It's your name we pray. Amen.